We hope that it's clear on this Wednesday, October 17th, 2012, that you're aware of the fact that God loves you. Reading from Genesis chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Now, Jason, I'm thinking to myself, we might have to put a rating on this morning's program, like a PG-13 rating, and I'll talk about that in just a minute why. Wow. In fact, it all came together just in the last few minutes as Jason and I were talking off air. There's a book here in the studio, and I had to explain the title for that for Jason, and then he was telling me something about his son's Lego Bible, and I was really intrigued with the whole concept of a Lego Bible, so we'll talk about that. But first, wait till you hear this announcement. I'm so excited. This was in yesterday's News Gazette. The Tuesday edition of the News Gazette. Potatoes can be a healthy part of your daily diet. Oh. Now listen to this. I'm so excited to learn this. And this is by Leah Weston. You may say potatoes and he may say potato, but I say that the humble potato is both delicious and nutritious. Among the top 20 most consumed fruit and vegetables, potatoes have the highest amount of potassium, a mineral that can help lower your blood pressure. Now, is a potato a fruit or a vegetable? I guess that's a question.
I think it's a vegetable, but I think that they consider it a root. Because it grows in the ground.
20 most consumed fruits and vegetables. Oh, maybe they're just talking about there's 20
probably
items.
A broader spectrum, but it's yeah. I think it's a root.
Okay, and here's one more thing. And here's a surprise. Did you know a medium potato with skin has nearly 45% of the daily value of vitamin C? Potatoes are also good sources of fiber and vitamin B6 and even have 6% of your DV for iron. What DV? Daily DV, whatever the DV is, you nutritionists probably know what that means. At 150 calories per medium potato, about the size of a woman's fist, you sure get a lot of nutrition bang for your buck. All right, potatoes, us Irish. I love potatoes, any kind of potatoes. So that's the news flash.
I'm going to have some french fries for lunch.
Eat more potatoes today, everyone. It can be a healthy part of your daily diet. I love it. In fact, I have a potato upstairs to be microwaved maybe later today. So anyway, that's the news flash. Enjoy those potatoes, everyone. Well, how about the title of that book? You came into the studio and you go, what is this?
Yeah, it was interesting.
That caught my attention. I may read that and see about interviewing her. I'm not sure. I got to see. But you did a quick little search with your all-purpose phone now.
Yeah, I can do everything. It talks to me. It did everything. Yeah, Homicidal, Obsessive, and Delusional Women of the Old Testament.
Wait, say that one more time, a little slower. This is actually the title of a book.
The Homicidal, Obsessive, and Delusional Women of the Old Testament. It's written by a woman, so there should probably be another one coming out by her husband that's like Homicidal, Delusional Men of the Old Testament.
But you did a quick search, and it seems like it has been recommended. And
yeah, there was a bunch of things. It's on Amazon, and a bunch of folks said it was really a good book. Now, sometimes you have to be very careful in terms of those
reviews.
Yeah, those reviews that you see, because they're written by people who maybe it really touched a broken part of them, and you know, the text isn't really that good. It just depends. Or
the reviews can be their best friend, and so they're somewhat.
Well, I never want to be jaded and go there, but that is probably very true. Yeah. Whenever I see a book and it only has one review, I always go, that's probably their friend.
Yeah. So anyway, and then you started telling me some stories. Little 7-year-old Jacob has been getting into Bible studies. I've been seeing his photograph and some of your posting, and you're so excited you gave him his first Bible or a full edition of the Bible.
Yeah, he has like a little kid's Bible. He has like a Jesus storybook Bible, and then he has a Lego Bible we bought him. It was on sale, and it's where they depicted all the scenes in the Bible, but they built them with Legos because he loves Legos. So we were thinking any connection point we can get him to get wildly excited about the Bible, then we're going to do it. But for his 7th birthday,
which was just recently. Happy birthday, Jacob.
Just recently on Friday. We wrestle with, do we get him like an adventure Bible, one of these kids' Bibles with all the gross facts and all the things that those have in it? And me and my wife said, no way. We said, when we grew up, we were given a regular old Bible. We were given the regular, good old gift Bible that came. And so I went on my shelf actually at the church and got a large print NIV, 1984, and gave that to him. And real funny, because I carry my Bible around and I always have a pen on the front cover. The pen is so that I can circle or underline or things that God speaks to me during the day when I'm reading the Bible. So I gave him the Bible, and he was really excited, and we sat down and we started studying the first couple verses in the book of John, and then he went away. And he came back the next morning before school, and he said, "Hey, are we going to study before I go to school?" I said, "Yeah." And I look, and he has his Bible with a pen attached to the front cover.
He's like father, like son.
And so he said, "Hey, can I circle or underline something in my Bible?" I said, "You can." I said, "But when you do, it's when God speaks to you." I said, "When I do that, it's because God speaks to me." And so he was looking at my Bible, and I have a lot of underlining and highlighting in my Bible, and that is I've been teaching and preaching things, and God speaks to me through passages, primarily a lot in the books of the Bible that I've taught, because you know God's really just working as I spend a lot of time in that one passage. So he came up to me after church on Sunday morning. We were doing a new person's lunch, and he kind of snuck in the middle of the lunch, and he whispers in my ear. He said, "Hey, today during church, God spoke to me, and I underlined it." And I said, "Really?" And so we went, and it was, I can't remember where it was at. Maybe it was in Esther. It was in somewhere that's very strange that he was in. But it talked about how God is loving and kind, and that we should also be that way. And so he said God really spoke to him. So it was really interesting. But, we've had this happen twice. This was the second time. The first time, not so bad. But he brought the Lego Bible the first time, and he goes, "Dad, what is circumcision?" So we had to explain. It was really actually kind of funny. So once again, remember, there's a PG rating on this program. So he brings it up, and now all these little stories in this Lego Bible come with pictures of Lego, little Lego things. They've built, you know, Lego stuff to depict the biblical scene. So there's a very visual quality to this. So in it, I think I remember there's two Lego guys and there's a big knife. And so he goes, "What is circumcision?" And I said, "Well, Jacob, you were circumcised when you were born." He's like, "Well, what does that mean?" I said, "Well, you know, they just do a little thing." And he goes, "Oh." So I turn around and I hear my daughter Molly scream, "Jacob, pull your pants up." And I look back over and he's got his pants around his ankles and he's checking out the circumcision. So that was awkward. But recently, in the last couple of days, it was Sunday, I think it was, he brought me the depiction in Genesis where Lot's daughters sleep with their dad, Lot. And in the Bible there, the brick Lego Bible has the two daughters, and they say, "Hey, there's no guys around. Maybe we should sleep with Dad." And then the next one there.
And they have a little photograph of them talking.
Yeah, a little photograph of them talking. The next photograph, they've got looks like a big barrel of something, and looks like they're getting Dad real drunk. And then the next one there. One of them is sleeping with Dad. Then the next one, the girls are talking again, and the older one says to the younger one, "Well, I slept with Dad. It's your turn." The next one, they're again they're tipping the barrel into Dad's mouth. And then the next one, she's obviously having sex with him. And then the next one, they have big pregnant Lego bellies. And so my son goes, "Well, what does this mean?" And me and Tasha are like, there are a lot of things we really want to discuss with you, and this is not one of them. And it never was on my – I mean, it's a Lego Bible, but it was really – how about this? It's truth, okay? So I love that it's in there. I mean, I don't want to shield my son from that because that's in the Bible. I mean, when my son goes to read the Bible, it's going to be in there. I don't want my son to go and read the Bible and go, "Dad, you know, I remember those stories, but how come this wasn't in there?" I mean, in the Lego Bible, it shows when the waters begin to fill up and the ark gets lifted up, that there are people drowning. And my son has come to me and said, "I never realized that there were people who drowned during the ark and then when the floods came." Yeah, well, that's real. And I know I grew up, and probably many of you did, on the Bible stories that were very neutered in terms of, you know, Moses did this, Noah brought all the animals on board, and it was so happy, and then it was like a little boat trip. You know, and all the things that happened, Daniel was in there with the lions and he petted them and everything was happy and fine. When there's really another dynamic to all these stories. So kudos to the Lego Bible for having truth and not a neutered truth, but a full truth. Maybe a negative, maybe there should have been a tape around it that I should have had to cut with a warning for me that I was going to get asked some questions that I wasn't going to have. And you know, I mean, your kids never come to you with questions like when you're ready for them. You know, I think when he brought that to me, I was laying on the couch. I was, you know, had just eaten lunch. I was half asleep. I was in the midst of watching Everybody Loves Raymond or who knows what. You know, I mean, I was not like in the, I'm like,
let me answer your theological questions, my son.
So I was, like, taken aback, and Tasha looked at me like, hey, this one's all you.
Yeah, that's class. Well, and another aspect of the Bible, it doesn't – it's not all rosy and easy, and like some of the people that are under the illusion that everything just always works out. It's mm-hmm. filled with sin. It depicts our fallen nature. It gives thousands of examples of how everyone failed.
Right.
And how we can identify with all the shortcomings, because that's us in them. We can read our own story or aspects of stories and failures and where we blew it. And it doesn't sugarcoat. I guess that's the word. The Bible doesn't sugarcoat life. And even David through the Psalms, he's angry, he's upset, he's crying out to God, why have you forsaken me? They're all the emotions that we go through, and yet we still have that high priest, the Lord Jesus, that can identify who was sinless and who was perfect.
Yeah, we talk about the Bible. I mean, that's shocking. We talk about the Bible a lot at home. Me and Tasha do. Tasha has questions, or we'll watch something on TV. We watch our fair share of regular TV, but we try and watch a lot of biblical documentaries and things like that, not because we're more holy or different than other people. It's just because we're interested and we want to hear perspectives. So we have a lot of conversation. And even the other night, we were, you know, just reminded that in that story of Samson, that after they cut Samson's hair and they bind him up, that they gouged his eyes out. And my son, who's heard the story of Samson many times, I mean, I don't know how many times he's colored Samson's coloring page. He didn't know that. And so in our house, if you are there, you know, you're our kids or you're our friends or whatever, we're talking about the Bible. So my son was there and we were talking about that. And he goes, they poked his eyes out? And we're like, yeah, they did. I mean, that was part of the punishment that they gave him because they hated Samson so much. Once again, just reminded that how many times he's heard that story and never, ever knew that part of it.
Yeah.
And that part of it, while it's a minor detail, is important, too, because it's part of the fullness of the story.
Yeah, and that's one of those aspects, too, where the Bible is living and active, and we glean new truths, or we connect in different ways, or we identify as we read it again, and we see a detail that maybe was never pointed out before. But I want to get back to something you said earlier, because we have a lot of people that listen in and tune in, and you said there's been a few occasions, or many occasions, when God speaks to you. And I mm-hmm. want you to maybe share a little more about that, because somebody might be thinking, is this guy a wacko? Is he hearing voices? What's God's voice sound like? What do you mean God spoke to you? Are you saying that you're special and God speaks to you? He's never spoken to me before. What does that mean?
Boy, oh boy. You would file this in the folder of cannot define. I mean, how do you define how God speaks to you? He speaks to everybody in a myriad of different ways. I know people who are musicians, and he speaks to them through chords and through strings and tones and notes. And I know people who are artists, and he speaks to them through charcoal, and he speaks to them through paint and pencils and things like that. Photographers, God speaks to them through the way that he draws their eyes to a certain thing and through the lens. Even here, how God uses Mark to orchestrate and do things on the radio that some of us, the rest of us, might be scratching our heads. And for Mark, it makes sense. You know, it's funny, a long time ago, when I started really walking with the Lord and I really started trying to understand, you know, I remember wrestling and saying, well, who's Jesus? What is Jesus? I mean, I want to know who Jesus is as a man. I mean, I understand Jesus, God, Son of God, and divinity and that, but I want to know who Jesus is as a man. And I remember a friend of mine who was attending a Jewish synagogue that was there on University Street in Peoria. He said, well, you need to read the Jewish documents. And I said, okay, well, I want to do that. So I ordered a copy of the Mishnah, which is the Jewish commentary on the Old Testament. And I read it, and it made sense. Like, I read it, and I say, some people were like, you get that? And I'm like, yeah, I totally get it. I mean, it totally makes sense to me. And it opened up a door for me to say, I totally understand why the Jews look at the world this way. I understand why Jesus looked at the world this way. I understand why Paul looked at the world this way now. I understand so much more than I did before. And God really spoke to me through that. So I want to say that, you know, whatever it is, the ways that you're gifted, that's not sin, that brings you great joy, that brings others great joy. I mean, if you're a musician and you're writing a song to the glory of God and people around you are touched by it, you're bringing God great joy. The same for Mark. I mean, how many people listening right now listen every day because this gives you great encouragement and great joy to be able to hear this show? That's because that's God's gifts in Mark being released, and Mark is doing it in obedience to the voice of God who's speaking to him. But in terms of me, you know, I'm more academic or I love to study. So God speaks to me quite often through the biblical text. Whenever I go to write a sermon, the first thing I do is I read the passages in the Bible a ton of times. And I just circle words that jump out at me. I mean, have you ever read your Bible and a word just jumps out for some inexplicable reason that like leaps off the page and you go, I wonder why that just did that. I mean, what does that mean?
Yeah, and that's what I want to kind of have you define. When you say God speaks to you, you're not hearing necessarily an audible voice, but there's impressions, there's feelings, there's concepts, there's a mindset, mm-hmm. almost like he's breathing in thoughts or alerting you to something or helping you focus or fine-tune on a concept, then you're like, this is coming from God. So that's how he's speaking to you.
Yeah, you know what? I'll do this because, like I said, I watched a show the other night. If you're my Facebook friend, you know that because I made fun of the show. But I watched a show on Samson and Delilah. And so there, as I normally do if I watch a biblical-based show or a documentary or something like that, I'll bring my Bible along and I'll open it up and I'll read some of the text through while I'm doing it just to get some ideas and see how God speaks to me through it. So as I'm going through and I'm in Judges chapter 16, and so like in this, I mean, God really spoke to me in here. It says in verse 4, sometime later he fell in love with a woman in the Valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. And God really spoke to me in that moment. I circled he and underlined fell in love because it doesn't say anywhere in here that Delilah fell in love with him. He fell in love with Delilah. So it was kind of a one-sided affair in my opinion. I think she cared for him a little bit, but I think it was a one-sided affair.
She could have been enamored by his size.
Right,
or
enamored by his size and that. But what's funny is in verse 6, I also God goes, wait, circle that. It says, so Delilah said to Samson. It doesn't say Delilah with great affection spoke to Samson. Delilah with this, it says, so Delilah said to Samson. Samson comes and tells her how much he loves her and how much he desires her and all these things, and it says, so she said to him.
Mm-hmm.
Not she doesn't return the affection. So it's something that God really, I circle because I'm like, wow. But even down, I already mentioned this in verse 21. Then the Philistines seized him, so Delilah's cut off Samson's hair. She's nulled his Nazarite vow that he's taken. And the Philistines come and they bind him, and they probably beat him some, I would think. But it just says the Philistines seized him, and then they gouged out his eyes and took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles. They set him to grinding in the prison. I circled, gouged out his eyes, because God really, in that moment, God goes, why did his eyes get gouged out? And this had nothing to do with what was on the show. This had nothing to do with that. But why did they gouge his eyes out? And why, after they gouge his eyes out, does he see better? Because it's one of the only times in here after they gouge his eyes out that it says in verse 25, and then Samson prayed to the Lord.
Hmm.
So why was the loss of his physical flesh-driven sight allow him to see something he never saw before? And that was ultimate truth. And when that comes back, we know in the story, is when his power comes back. And so, you know, as I was reading that text and doing this, I circled, gouged his eyes out, because I'm going, well, God's going, well, what does this have to do with blindness, and what does it have to do with really seeing? And then in the verse right after that, it says, but the hair on his head began to grow, the but for me. I circled that because I go, and just talking with the Lord, Lord, is this your promise, the but? But his hair began to grow back, because the promise of the Lord does not go away. And then down a little bit farther, like I said, I circled, then Samson prayed to the Lord.
Hmm.
So Samson lost his physical sight, but he could now truly see, and the promise of God was still upon him, and he prayed to the Lord. And so I go, and so those are just instances where I was watching something, had my Bible in my hand, and the Lord was really speaking to me. These are really key to, mm-hmm. to your understanding. They might not be key to your understanding, but they were key to my understanding of this text to look at it. And it wasn't where I was doing it academically. I wasn't. Didn't have a bunch of books open at the time. I just had my Bible and me and God. And, you know, my son the other day circled came to me after church and he whispered in my ears. He goes, I circled my first verse in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And it had to do with the Lord being loving and kind. And I know that God must have spoken that to him because it was in a really odd place, somewhere that my son might not normally be. So I would just say this, that don't say, oh, God must speak to me in the book of John because I love the book of John. Because, you know, God's spoken to me in the book of Lamentations when I didn't even want to be in the book of Lamentations. God's spoken to me in the most craziest of places, the book of Jude, the book of Nehemiah, places where I don't normally ever go, the book of Esther. You know, places he's spoken to me a lot when I'm studying a book of the Bible to preach it, because I'm definitely in that. I'm immersed in that. I'm looking at all the facets of it. But I would say that don't try and define how God speaks to you through the Bible. He may speak to you through the oddest of phrases.
Now, I'm just thinking for somebody who's driving along and saying, but Jason, Mark, God's never spoken to me. What would you say in our closing minute and a half? How would you encourage them to see that really God is speaking? He's constantly speaking. He's constantly drawing us to himself, but they don't feel like they've ever heard from God.
Well, I would say that you have to turn your own volume down. I would say that when Jesus comes in John 20:21, he says to the disciples, he says, shalom, which is the peace of God. He says, peace be with you. He says, peace. And then he says, as the Father has sent me, so I have sent you. And then he says, shalom again. And what he's really telling him is he's saying, turn the volume down, because I'm going to tell you something really important, that as God has sent me into the world, I am now going to send you into the world. But we got to turn our own volume down. I mean, did you just take a breath? Did you just feel the wind wisp through your hair? Did you just make a decision that afterwards you go, oh, I don't know why I did that? I think that you hear God. I just think that we don't choose to listen to God. I think that we're always hearing God, because we're always hearing that voice that's saying, you should really do this, or you should do this. Or, you know, we make decisions that are just nutty when we look back on them. And we go, I don't even know why I made that decision, because it doesn't really make any sense to me. It's not what I would normally do. And I think that you were hearing God. I just don't think we listen for God. And so I think that we – how about this? if you've ever held a newborn baby, you have heard from God. Because those feelings and those emotions that you have as you hold the baby and you smell the baby and you're in the presence of the baby, you have heard God's voice. You just may not have listened, but you heard it, because that was that thing deep inside your heart that you didn't understand why you were welling up with emotion. Because if you didn't have that, you just go, oh, it's just a baby.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is minimize maybe all those distractions, all those noises, yeah, all those sounds that are competing for your attention, your affections. And one key way to hear from God is reading his word and entertaining the idea that he wants to speak to you and that he will speak to you because he loves you, he cares about you, and just allow him to speak to you. Listen for his voice and he'll reveal it. Well, we're out of time, Jason. Lots more to say. Thanks for coming in on this, the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. Eat lots of potatoes today and tell us how it's going. This is Mark and Pastor Jason Shippo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.